It's off the record, everyone. I had an episode I was going to go up before this one, but I have to bump it because I got to talk about something that is near and dear my heart, and that has to do a lot with my my faith and what does it mean for a Christian to be involved in politics. You got to know what you're getting into. You're going to get into politics, and if you're a Christian getting into politics, it's a double whammy. And this is brought to you by water in my Hydro Flask bottle. There's a couple of major stories in Christendom that occurred this week. That is why I felt like I need to address this, because other leaders in churches are going to have to talk about this anyway. And you probably heard about some of this, so I don't want to go through it, but I will recap some of it just to give context because of the grander thing at play here. This is the first election in perhaps a long time or ever in the United States history where the battle lines are drawn between the left and the right. We kind of saw that happen 4 years ago. It's a lot more obvious now. And because both sides, especially the left, isn't hiding anymore. They've been taken over by radical Marxists, and they're intending to pass Marxist agendas that will... A socialist utopia only spells doom for everywhere it's been, so of course not here. And I stand wholeheartedly against that. The thing is that the question has been, if you're a Christian, what involvement should you have in politics, if any? Because there's some people in Christendom that feel that evangelical leaders should not be endorsing on someone like Trump, shouldn't have endorsed him in the first place, and shouldn't have stood by him ever since. And the thing is, this is not a thing about, let's talk about Trump or whatever. No, I'm not going to get into that. But what I will say about the overall thing is this, is that regardless of Trump's character, or putting aside his character, his ego, he has been the most conservative president we've had, outdoing even George W. Bush. George W. Bush was a Republican, not a conservative. And what I mean by that is pro-life, pro-religious expression and practice thereof, there hasn't been one like him before. One of the worst at it has been Obama, who's tried to silence churches and arrested pastors and all that. So we got a very, very defined difference there. But as a person, Trump has been questionable or egregious. How can Christians stand behind this guy? How can even that guy claim to be Christian? This is not an exhortation about Trump. So let me move past that to the point, because this is actually a bit of a prologue. I, as a person, I am a Christian. I'm a practitioner of the faith, and I also have had my lapses in my spiritual walk. That's happened. And also as a human being, I have my moments of weaknesses. So I know that. That's why I continuously come back to God. And I feel shameful when I let him down. Because sometimes I trust my own strength and it's not enough. And that's where he reminds me, it's like, it's not you, it's me. So it's a reminder always that that we need the Lord. He is our strength, he is our guide, and we gotta let him be the captain of our lives. That's the whole point of what it means to be a Christian, to give your life up to God. Does that mean you're perfect? Absolutely not. There are some people that believe you can't lose your faith once you become a Christian. It's a contradiction of what actually is said in the Bible. You can lose your faith, and people have lost their faith. So, yes, you can lose your salvation. It's just what happens, though. There are some people that get so swept up in power in the evangelical space, the Protestant movement or whatever, let's call it even Catholics. They get so swept up in power that they believe they're untouchable. They believe that because of their position, they can get away with it. But you're supposed to be serving God. I'm going to give you two examples of what's going on in the news today. One of them being probably the most infamous case, because it's Jerry Falwell Jr., who used to be the head of Liberty University, founded by his father, Jerry Falwell, one of the great evangelicals of the previous century. So Jerry Falwell Jr. he tried to get ahead of the story. He did get ahead of the story that Reuters published on Monday about The pool boy that he and his wife met 8 years ago in Miami that ended up becoming a business partner after he became manager of some of the business dealings that they had, and how he was exposing the sordid affair that the pool boy Granda was having with Becky Falwell, Falwell's wife. But what made it even weirder was when he said that Falwell was a spectator in all this. So he knew about the affair and basically encouraged it, is the claim. And the thing is, it's a he said, she said type of situation. That's a he said, she said. And I want no part in it, but the media is loving it because this is a Christian conservative that was also, or is also, a staunch supporter of Trump. And because of the connection with Trump, that's why they keep hammering him. Like, yeah, bring him down. Yeah, but how are you going to bring Trump down that way? It's not, but guilt by association. Okay, so this is the same media that let that farce of a Democrat National Committee, where they had racists, they had sexists, they had rapists, they had... I don't want to use the word because I might get striked by my on my channel, but even pedophiles, they were out there speaking, you know, and they were propped up, and the DNC was like, yeah, and the media was like, yeah, look at him speak, oh, so powerful and moving. It's like, huh? But then here's a man that, because he's a figurehead in the evangelical community, then he shouldn't be. It's not about, like, these great men. No, it's about God. Like, a man of influence, sure, but be humble, man. It's like, don't let it get to your head. Some of them do, and that's what brings a bad name to Christendom. But anyway, so Falwell, he says he's not involved in any of this thing, but he knew about the affair. He acknowledges that, and that he got depressed over all that. He ultimately worked it out with his wife and forgave her. But this affair supposedly went on for years. It wasn't just like a one-off thing. The thing is, Reuters says it this way. Because supposedly Granda provided all this information to as evidence. The only one that Reuters claims that they can verify is a screenshot of a FaceTime in which Becky Falwell was supposedly in the nude on a call with Granda, and in the background, peeking his head through the door, was Falwell. And that's supposed to be enough proof that the three of them were involved in some weird love triangle. So even Reuters says Granda provided the information that he says is evidence. So even Reuters isn't saying that it's the evidence that sees the smoking gun, it proves it. It's just that Reuters is having a field day with all the attention they're getting out of this because they broke the story. They've been covering this for quite a while, and now Granda's blowing the lid off this whole thing to expose Falwell's corruption and all that stuff. And Falwell's saying that Granda's just trying to extort them, and they knew about this. That's why they had a lawyer for the longest time trying to settle this without it blowing over. But the thing is, Falwell was bringing too much attention to himself in the first place because of some salacious-looking Instagram photo that he thought was in good jest, along with other pictures he put up. But that's the only picture that was questionable, where he was with his assistant. Both of them were unzipped pants or shorts, and they had their bellies exposed because the assistant was preggo and pretty big. She couldn't zip up her shorts, and what's his name couldn't zip up his pants. So he thought, they put costumes on, like they're both preggo, and he took a picture, and he had his arm around her. So that was enough for a conservative community to lose their minds. Like, whoa, man, your university that you run has a very strict code of ethics about all this stuff and this and that, and look what you're doing. You posted it on your yacht. So, yeah, it looks bad, Jerry. It looks really, really bad. And those are appearances, and the court of public opinion has already made up their mind about you. So that's that. But the thing is, whatever's going on, that's between you, those involved, in God, okay? I'm not involved, but I have to weigh in on it, because that's the problem that Christianity has when they prop up figureheads. Like, why are we following a man? We should be following the God of the man, because that man will pass away. And sometimes your heroes do let you down. I'm not saying he's my hero, but he was a hero to others. You know, so I'm sure a lot of people feel let down by that. How many people are going to feel like they're going to lose their faith over that? That's what annoys me when this happens. People put their faith on individuals instead of the God that the individual is preaching about. And sometimes some of these individuals love that attention. So yeah, you gotta stay humble in all this. But that's what happened. I feel that the power gets to them, the influence and prestige, it gets to them. So that's where they would fall. So that's a crapped up situation and it's giving a bad name to Christianity right now because the media wants to. But if this was a left-wing guy, then the media, of course, would definitely be out there protecting him and saying that, no, Granda must be after some money in all this. Yeah. So here's the other flip side. It's like, because we're talking about, should Christians be involved in politics? Yeah, we should vote. Yeah, we should be able to endorse. We should be able to speak truth to power. But should we become political action committees? No. Because the parties are not religion either. Look, religion and the parties are basically the same thing nowadays. But I just don't want any institution of Christianity to basically be lockstep, rank file, and they do things together in politics of any sort. Whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Islam or Mormonism or anything like that, I just don't want it. It has no place there. So, yeah, but what about under God and the pledge and all that? Look, there's a big difference between religion and God. Religion is the institution of man where they try to practice certain things based on interpretations that they received. God was before all this, so was his word. So that's not religion. You might dispute that, but it's the truth that existed long before religion ever became a thing. So, what bothers me is that you have something like this. This is from USA Today. Billy Graham's daughter, she says, the evangelical support of Donald Trump spits on his legacy, referring to Billy Graham. So here's someone that purports to be a Christian, as it purports. She's coming forward saying that evangelicals should not support Donald Trump because evangelicals shouldn't be in politics, so to speak. But then she turns it on its head. By supporting Donald Trump, evangelical leaders are failing us and failing the gospel. Christian women must step up where our church leaders won't. As a proud granddaughter of the man largely credited for beginning the evangelical movement, the late Billy Graham, the past years had led me to reflect on how much America has changed within that movement in America. I have spent my entire life in church with every big decision guided by my faith. But now I feel homeless. Like so many others, I feel disoriented as I watch the church I have always served turns its eyes away from everything it teaches. Huh? I hear from Christian women on a daily basis who all describe the same thing, a tug at their spirit. Most of these women walked into a voting booth in 2016 believing they were choosing between two different options. They held their breath and closed their eyes and cast a vote for Donald Trump, whom many of us then believed to be the lesser of two evils, all the while feeling that tug. I feel it every time our president talks about government housing, having no place in American suburbs. Jesus said repeatedly to defend the poor and show kindness and compassion to those in need. Our president continues to perpetuate an us versus them narrative, yet almost all of our church leaders say nothing. I feel this tug every time our president or his followers speak about the wall, designed to keep out the very people. The very people scripture tells us to welcome. In Trump's America, refugees are not treated as native-born, as scripture encourages. Instead, families are separated, held in inconceivable conditions, and cast aside as less than. The church honors Trump before God. Trump has gone so far to brag about his plans, accomplishments, and unholy actions towards the marginalized communities I saw my grandfather love and serve. I now see... I'm getting interruptions on my screen here. I now see through the silence of church leaders that my communities are no longer valued by individuals claiming to uphold the values my grandfather taught. I'm going to skip some of this because it's just like really annoying. It seems that the only evangelical leaders to speak up praise the president with no mention of his behavior that is antithetical to the Jesus we serve. The entire world has watched the term evangelical become synonymous with hypocrisy and disingenuousness. My faith and my church have become a laughingstock, and any attempt by its members to defend the actions of Trump at this time sound hollow and insincere. Let's skip over to this part where she says, women of faith know better. I have given myself permission to lean onto that tug of my spirit and speak out. I may be against the tide, but I am firm in my faith that this step is the most consistent with my church and its teachings. How do we get here? How do we, as God-fearing women, find ourselves ignoring and disrespecting the misogyny being shown from our president? Why do we feel we must express our discomfort in hushed whispers and quiet corners? Are we not allowed to stand up when it feels that everyone else around us is sitting down? The God we serve empowers us as women to represent Him before our churches. A contradiction, actually, of what Ephesians says. We represent God before we represent any political party or leader. Now, that is true. While we fail to remember this, we are minimizing the role He created for us, Him being God. Jesus loved women. He served women. He valued women. We need to give ourselves permission to stand up to do the same. Let's go. Last paragraph. I choose to listen to my spirit to speak out, not because doing so feels comfortable, but because it feels like the right way to leverage the voice God has empowered me with. Now I am asking all of you who feel as I do to embrace your inner tug and allow it to lead you to use the power of your God-given voice and not allow Trump to lead this country for another 4 years. Jerusha Dufford is an evangelical leader, speaker, and member of Lincoln Women, a coalition of women in the Lincoln Project. This pisses me off more than anything else because the left is happy to have someone claiming to be a faith-based person, this woman of conviction, to be on their side. The Lincoln Project proudly endorses Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The Lincoln Project now has this subsidy, Lincoln Women. So now the men have failed the church. The women have to go forward. Never mind that Jesus is the head of the church. Just as the man is the head of the household, that's the order the Bible says. So she's already contradicting that because she says the men have failed. Why? Because they support Donald Trump for the crimes of being a bad person, not for the actual well he's done for the Christian community and humanity as a whole. Oh, no, he's a racist and a misogynist. Dude, you can question his character or hate his character all you want. The facts of the matter are these. No one has done more for the unborn child than Donald Trump. No one has done more to take on Planned Parenthood than Donald Trump. No one has done more for the minority community than Donald Trump. The one that's made us worse as a country and stoked the flames of racism was the previous president. Yes, a black man. They had 8 years to make it right. When did Black Lives Matter start? When did it begin? It started under Obama. And he judged every single cop before the evidence came out. And Eric Holder, his attorney general, you hate Bill Barr, Eric Holder was his attorney general. He oversaw the Michael Brown case in Ferguson. And under the watchful eye of Obama, basically, they found the cops were not guilty. Oops. Oh, and she goes on to say, separating them at the border. Every single country in this earth has immigration laws. But the only ones that people get pissed off about are the ones in the United States. The only country that should not be allowed to have borders is the one that everybody wants to come to. The one where we had the foreign terrorist attacks. So how do we know who's coming here? Every other country has their own border security. But we can't have it. They're separating them in cages. Obama built the cages. He's the one that separated the families. Trump ended it. Yeah, they were still happening early on. And he ended it. Obama's had it. Obama, I'm going to leave the link down in the description down below for those of you watching at www.theandrewsegover.com. This is an ABC News article, not some Fox News stuff or Wall Street Journal. Obama has deported twice as many as Trump has. The worst deporter in history. has been Obama. And he had the gall on 2012 for his re-election, because he knew he was losing the Latino vote, the Hispanic vote, to pass DACA, the Dreamers Act. All because he wanted to secure the vote. Meanwhile, he was sending our people back. But no, it's Trump the one that's doing that. Wake up, people. You guys got to get red pill. This is what pisses me off about this article. She is touting Billy Graham. Billy Graham, you know, that's what I was just talking about. Figureheads. Take the figurehead away. Billy Graham was humble. He was wrong in certain things too. But the guy was humble. I got upset at him towards the latter years of his ministry. But then after he's retired from the ministry, I got more respect for him. She's using her grandfather's legacy to stand against Trump by aligning herself with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the Democrat Party that proudly supports the killing of the unborn, that proudly supports lifestyles that contradict everything the Bible says, all because in the name of love. The Bible still says it, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So unless you're tearing out pages of the scripture that you don't like, how are you standing up for the very scripture you're claiming to defend because it supposedly is not being defended by the current man and president because he's a misogynist? Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a sex offender. But that's better because that's not Trump. The DNC had the gall of putting Bill Clinton to lecture Trump about conduct in the Oval Office the same day that his pictures among his humanitarian trip with Jeffrey Epstein came out. You had 26 flights on Jeffrey Epstein's private jet, and you had personal contact with some of the victims. That, I'll leave the rest up to you to figure out. But I'm just telling you, this upsets me. The Jerry Falwell stuff upsets me. So what are we as Christians? What do we do with all this politics and stuff? Where do we stand? The same thing when it comes to being cautious when propping up figures in the church. It's not about the man. It's about the God the man professes to serve. Our eyes should always be on God. Because look what happens when we take it off for just a bit. Take it off his sight. I can speak from personal experience. Screw ups. Yeah. Our parties, political parties, are man-made institutions assigned to fail. Designed to fail because they're man-made. So we can't put our trust in them either. But we can support for those that profess to stand up with actions that which we need protecting. And America needs to survive. So that's the extent of what I believe politics, a Christian should be involved in politics. Whether they want to serve publicly, absolutely they can. Why not? I mean, it's a tall order. I know, because I almost did. Anaheim. But for someone to be touting how spiritual she is, to align herself with a party that's completely anti-God, blasphemous even, that just shows you her faith is not in God. Or at least her God is someone else that wasn't her grandfather's. Man, this stuff. Anyway, I needed to express that because my heart's heavy about false teachers and false leaders like that person that's the granddaughter of Billy Graham and seemingly hypocrites. I don't want to judge them, but Jerry Falwell, I don't know. Just, you and your wife have problems. That's all I gotta say to that. Deal with it. Get right with God. Don't ever put yourself in a position of leadership like that again, where you can harm all those around you. Because this wasn't just about you, your wife, and the pool boy. That's it for this one. Catch you in the next episode.